Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Solomon left off chapter 7 dealing with the great need we have of wisdom. And as he finished chapter 7, he was concluding it by looking at his own weakness, showing how in desperate need he was in need of God's wisdom and God's help in his life, as he found out even at his best, whether that was in his desire for things of God or in his wisdom that was God-given, he really saw how weak he was. In chapter 8, a very timely message. He now deals with the importance of having wisdom in relation to human government, especially bad government. So let's look at the first five verses here of chapter 8. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Now notice where he goes with this. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight, the king. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, again, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word and for this church. And Lord, I ask for your help and your blessing tonight. Lord, we do thank you for our nation, and we know that we need your help. Lord, we know that we do see one of the greatest things we need is even with the song that was sung tonight, that if we would humble ourselves, Lord, turn from our sin, pray in seeking you, all that you will do. And Lord, may you give us wisdom tonight as we look at this in relation to government. And Lord, may you guide and direct. I pray that it would be a help, that it would encourage us. Lord, that it would do the work that needs to be done. Lord, please bless. May you be glorified and honored in all that's said and done. Lord, I love you and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, before I get into this, by way of encouragement, verse 15 of chapter 8 is a change in the book. It's going to start a new section. We've actually covered two already. It's going to start the third section when you get to verse 15. And I just want to bring up something a little bit, one thing about verse 15 real quick. It said, then I commanded mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor all the days of his life which God hath given him under the sun. We're in a different time as Christians right now, and I'm going to be covering that in relation to this text and our response to human government and what we do. Based on the first five verses here of Ecclesiastes, and verse 15 is summing up the previous section basically. And what I want to do is remind you, basically what it's saying is this, is also don't forget all the good things that God has given you to enjoy right now. Really, don't forget, with everything going on, don't forget you have the health to come here and sit in the service right now. You know, if you get a diagnosis tomorrow, it could change your perspective real quick, and the inauguration today would have little impact on your life. Don't forget the blessings you have of God right now, of the things he has given you to enjoy. Don't miss out on his blessings right now because of what is taking place. All right. Now, let's get into the message here. Today, of course, our nation has started a new political direction. For Christians, we are well aware that the progressives are now in power and in control of each house of our government. The presidency, the Senate, and the Congress. This is by far in our nation's history the farthest left our country has ever been. Under President Obama, I never saw a true threat to churches or Christians. Never did. It was never really a concern. But it certainly had a tone of looking down on Christians with remarks like their guns and their Bibles. Sort of a dismissive little attitude towards Christians as if they were ignorant and unlearned. That was certainly in place during that time. But there was never an actual threat. Today, that is not necessarily the case. For the first time in my lifetime, again, the progressives have control of all three branches. Since I have been alive, that has never taken place. It has taken place in the past. It ended in 1969. From 1961 to 69 under Kennedy and Johnson, the Democrats had controlled all three branches of power. But that was a very different Democratic Party in the 1960s than it is today. But I also find it incredible of what took place in the 1960s with the revolution that was going on. Interesting. So, for the first time in our nation's history, our government, and for the very first time, think about this, in our nation's history, our government has the potential, I don't know that it will be, but it certainly now has the potential to be a very real threat to Christians. We will be more than just marginalized. Now, my hope, which is a strong, solid hope, the fact is this, don't forget this as I'm going through this message. The King of Kings is in control. He is. I'm still a pilgrim on this earth. That hasn't changed. The King of Kings is in control. And I'm going to get into this later based on this text. He ordains the powers that be. I find it just incredible that the text we happen to be at today deals with human government. I think the Lord knew what we would need. We have for us three things here going forward that Solomon points out that are essential when a person is dealing with government. And you can tell he's dealing with respect when there's even a rebellion that takes place, those who are going against the government. We'll see that as we develop out what he's talking about here. But he gives us three things that are critical of what we need when dealing with a king, or in other words, government. He says you're going to need wisdom, interpretation, and discernment. And like no other generation of Christians in the United States of America, is it more true for us today? Again, for a day like today, I don't know that we could be in a better text. Solomon deals with those three things in relation to human government. The importance of wisdom, interpretation, and discernment. Now, some things to point out about human government. It was established, of course, by God himself. It's an institution given by God. We see the start of it. I'm not going to turn there for time. Wow. I'm definitely not going to turn there for time's sake. It is 7:35. We will not make 7:45. I can tell you that right now. I'll try and hurry it along, but hopefully 7:50, 7:55. But in Genesis chapter 9, you have God instituting human government. He has given authority to mankind to govern. At that time, it's in relation when you see it to capital punishment. He's putting things in place so that man can govern man when it's necessary. So when there was evil doing, he was giving permission to govern. All right? So we see the institution of it in Genesis chapter 9. We know from verses like, and I'll turn there later, I'm not going to right now, I got to, for time's sake here, I have to go through this, I did not realize how late we were. Romans 13:1, the powers that be are ordained of God. That includes the United States of America. Jesus made clear to Pilate, didn't he? You could have no power given to you except it was given to you from above. That's what he said. We also see in Scripture, I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but you can write this down, Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. This is just one example in the Bible. But as God the Father making it clear that he is going to use an evil king, an evil nation for his purpose. For his purpose. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 8 and 9. There's many different types of governments. Monarchies, parliamentary democracies, you know, you got socialism, communism, and their forms of government within each of those. And of course, we are a constitutional republic, a very young type of governing, if you will. Without a doubt, the best this world has ever seen is a constitutional, hands down. I don't think there's anybody that could possibly debate that if you're a citizen of a government, that's the type of government you want. Our forefathers also gave warning, though, how dangerous this could turn if the nation did turn from God and no longer allowed biblical principles to guide a constitutional republic. We are commanded, I will turn there. Let's go, this one we need to see. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. They're under Roman pagan rule. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. When it comes to human government, we're commanded to pray for our government. We're not just to pray for our government if we think that they're trying to follow God. We're to pray for what government we are under. And he makes it clear. We can perhaps now understand this. I think we could, you know, even in the past a little bit, but certainly in the day we're in today with everything that has transpired and progressed downward in the last year, we certainly can see the meaning of this verse so much clearer right now in our country, where Paul said, you better pray so that you could lead a quiet and peaceable life. And by the way, what does he use? Four or five adjectives there describing prayer, or verbs talking about prayer, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. He's being clear. He's covering every word he can with prayer. Do it. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13 through 16. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For this is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So here we are to submit to the government that we have. There are going to be times we're going to see that when we get back to Ecclesiastes that we do have to take a stand whenever man's laws go against God's laws. Again, as our government changes, especially today, with the Congress, the Senate, the presidency, more than any other generation in our country, more than any other Christian since we became a nation, are in need more of wisdom, interpretation, and discernment when dealing with our government. We will need all three of those. Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon was actually talking about, it's in his book on Psalms, but it fits this. Psalm 57:4 starts off with the words, "My soul is among the lions." David was speaking. But keep this in mind. I like Spurgeon's words. I thought it fit well with everything taking place. This is what Spurgeon said about this. If your soul is among the lions, it is not wise to pull his whiskers. Our soul is among the lions. It's not wise to pull the whiskers. Some Christians think they're suffering for their faith, but a lot of times in reality, they're suffering for being stupid. There's going to come a time, and that might be very well, that could be in 2021, when we will suffer for our faith. But that is what we are to suffer for, is our faith, not our pride. So we will need wisdom, interpretation, and discernment. Now, let's get in first. Now, verse 1 and 5 deal with that in our text. I'm going to come back to verse 1 and 5. We won't get to verse 1 and 5 until 2 weeks when I'm back. Or actually 3 weeks. I'm going 2 Wednesdays and 1 Sunday. But I want to deal with the counsel that he gave in regards to government in verses 2, 3, and 4. All right, so back in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me turn there. I will come back to verse 1. Verse 1 and 5 are feeding what's necessary in 2 through 5. He says, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard to the oath of God. More of his counsel. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing. For he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? So he gives some counsel regarding people dealing with their government here. First off, by the way, he used the word I counsel here. It was interesting. I came across this during study. I thought it was interesting. He uses the word I 87 times in 215 verses in Ecclesiastes. 87 times he does it. The first time is in chapter 1 and verse 12. And outside of that time, every single time he follows up with this verb of action, like I counseled, I communed, I command. This one is a little bit unique in that it's italicized. It was something the translators had to add for the meaning of the text to stay true to what was being said. So he's given counsel. He said, here's what I'm going to counsel you. And again, he's giving counsel in relation to government. He said, first off, keep the king's commandment. Solomon's saying, obey the government. This is the same thing Romans 13:1 teaches us. What we saw in 1 Peter chapter 2, what I read in verse 13. You know, Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, so every power that be is ordained of God. The powers that be, are ordained of God. So, biblically, Solomon is staying consistent with it, that we are to obey the king's command. By the way, the oath here is referring to, you can see that in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, Israel's promise to serve the king, saying, remember what's taking place here with who I am. Remember, Solomon's looking back in his life, and what he's realizing in this text, the fact is, he's understanding through the direction he ended up going that he was not a good king. He was oppressive with taxes. There's regret in his life right now. Now, he deals with obedience to government, but of course there are times to go against the government when it goes against God. When a government asks you to sin, that's not something we can compromise on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. While multitudes compromised, they would not bow down. They realized, wait, this is crossing a line we can't do. They're asking us to worship an idol. They refused to do it. Understand this. There are very few, from going back to when the church first got started in the book of Acts, up until the day we're in, there are very few generations of Christians that have lived in a government like we have in the United States of America that tried to follow the Bible. Very few. We have been the exception to the rule in the history of the church. And it's been an amazing time to be alive and serve Christ. It has. Amazing country to be in. So he starts off, Solomon says, here's what I'm going to counsel you. You keep the king's commandment. You keep the king's commandment. Then he brings up this. He says, now, his second counsel is, be not hasty to go out of the king's sight. So now he's dealing with somebody who's going to take a stand against the government. He's saying, listen, if you're going to do that, you better not be hasty. You better think through what you're doing. And we're going to get back to it. You better have wisdom, interpretation, and discernment if you're going to do that. He says, be not hasty to go out of the king's sight. Standing ready in the king's presence speaks to ready to carry out the king's commands. To be obedient, to be loyal, to have allegiance. To be hasty speaks of disobedience, disrespect, and you have another allegiance. Now, when I read this, there was one person who came to mind in the Bible, Daniel. Daniel was basically under three world empires, Babylonians, Medes, and Persian empires. He was basically prime minister in all three. Daniel, I believe, exemplifies what a Christian should be when under pagan influence. His disposition before the people was incredible. And before the rulers. Incredible. It wasn't one of Daniel in rebellion, even though he had to deal with a command that came down that would cause him to sin. And he refused. The order came down, you're not praying to any god. Daniel chapter 6. He says that when he knew the decree was signed, what he did? He went to his window as he did aforetime, lifted up and he prayed. He disobeyed the king's command. Why? Because it was a request that was put in a place of sin. And he refused. And you know, as you read Daniel's life in a story, he did not refuse for the sake of his pride. He refused because he loved God. And he wasn't going to disappoint him. And he wasn't going to sin against him. That was his strength. Daniel's disposition was incredible. By the way, I won't get to it this week, but next week I will. In verse 1, when he's dealing with wisdom that's needed when dealing with your government, notice he deals with your countenance. He deals with a boldness and confidence basically you're going to have with this. Daniel had that, by the way. He not only is he prime minister, he is put in charge of the wise men. People recognize the difference in his life. When it was needed, he disobeyed. He found himself in a den of lions, but of course, God protected. But Daniel did not know that ahead of time. He was ready to die for his faith that night if necessary. This is why it's so important in case the time comes when we have to be out of the king's sight, if you will, that we have, it's not hasty, that it's with wisdom, interpretation, and discernment. Use wisdom, not rashness. He also gives the warning of standing in an evil thing. In other words, there's something that he recognized in his position as a king that would take place. Especially those that were hasty to go out find himself standing in an evil thing. Solomon gives warning against it. He warns if there be an evil thing, whether willful or not, he says, don't stand in it, get away. When you see an evil thing taking place, don't justify it, get away from it. It can easily happen in these situations. Easily. He's saying, don't go there with it. Do right, and do right. Verse 4. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? He reminds us, the government has power. There's no denying it. They have power. A king had power. For the most part, he could not be questioned whether good or bad. Now, there are times that we see biblically to question. There are. He's just saying, be careful. Where the king's word is, there is power. Understand what you're dealing with. In other words, what he's saying here is count the cost. Make sure you're ready to pay it. Because where the king's word is, there is power. Make sure you're ready to count the cost. That's going to be a little bit difficult as we transition as a nation because I don't think Christians are going to understand the cost. There are times to question. We have biblical examples of that. Esther going before her husband, the king, knowing the power he wielded. But she knew it was the right thing to do. Elijah before Ahab. Moses before Pharaoh. And a great example, Samuel before Saul. What it is showing us, what Solomon is saying to us, if you're going to make that decision, you had better have wisdom. Not rashness. not a fleshly boldness. You better have wisdom, interpretation, and discernment. And then, as he mentions here, being obedient to the government prevents the government from taking action against you, which they have the power to do. By the way, we can apply this, as I'm going to wind this up. We can apply these not only to human government, but the great thing about this is we can apply it under our true King, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, who does reign supreme and is in control. We should continually stand before Him ready to obey, always avoiding hastily going out of His sight. He is the King of Kings. He is the one who rules faithfully, justly, perfectly, and righteously. We should not stand in an evil thing. Our allegiance should always be to Him. The power of our King's word is unmatched. Our King's word creates. It gives grace. It gives wisdom. It has the power over the soul as well as the body. That's what's to be feared. And make no mistake, none are qualified or wise enough to say unto God, "What doest thou?" He's perfect. And He is the King of Kings. And then as he transitions into verse 5, he stresses the need for discernment. And as I complete this message, that's what I'm going to dive into. What Solomon is saying, listen, when you're dealing with government, here's some things you better, these principles you better remember, what I'm counseling you. So in dealing with them, we are going to need wisdom, interpretation, which you'll find fascinating, that word, very fascinating, and discernment. And we'll get into that when I return. When I return, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't think we have any visitors here, but perhaps you're here. Maybe this has been bothering you the last several months, or maybe just this week, but you'd like to say, "Pastor, please, I am not certain that I have been converted. It's been bothering me. I need you to pray for me. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I'm truly converted unto God. Please pray for me." If that's you, would you just raise your hand where I can see it? Anybody here like that at all? Say, "Pastor, please, I need you to pray for me. I don't know that I'm converted." All right, just some small children is all I'm seeing. All right, Christian. The Lord is in control. Romans 13:1 gives me more peace in days like this than any other, knowing the powers that be ordained of God. I know we're entering interesting days, and we are going to need a strong, strong walk with God because of how desperately we're going to need wisdom, interpretation, and discernment. Our lives need to be focused on Him. If there's something you need to pray about, we'll give a time invitation for that. Father in heaven, bless this invitation. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's turn to page 245. And if you need to come and pray, you quickly come and pray.